Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half, we're going to be here about President-elect Donald Trump's plan for mass deportations and what that could mean for local communities and the San Antonio economy. But first, Ashley Alvarado will serve as the next president and CEO of Texas Public Radio, and she's going to begin that role in December. Alvarado has been the VP of Community Engagement and Strategic Initiatives at LAist, KPCC, a nonprofit news organization that provides news and information for Southern California. And Ashley Alvarado joins us now to take your calls, answer your questions. You can call in at 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Ashley, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you, and thank you for this opportunity to start to get to know you as you become the president and CEO of TPR. What really got you started? What excited you about public radio?
Oh, gosh. So whenever people ask me that question, I tend to go way, way back.
And well, take us way back.
I was great. I was one of those kids who just loved the news. I was telling somebody recently I would race home from school. I would watch the news at like 3 or 4 o'clock. Maybe a highlight of my childhood was having a comment that I'd sent in be read or go across the reader. And I was just fascinated by it because I really understood that having access to information was the best tool that I would have when it came to thinking about what I wanted to do, what I wanted to understand or explore in life. And so I was in the middle school. I was part of the Jefferson Middle School Cyberbeak newsroom. In high school, I was editor of the paper, just something that I really loved. But what strikes me with your question is that I never thought about public radio. We have, in the town I grew up in, Oregon, a station called KLCC, which is a wonderful news source. But back then, I never really saw myself reflected, heard stories that felt like the stories of my family. And so as I went into journalism school and then eventually into journalism, one of the things that I really focused on was being part of the change so that I could be a part of amplifying more kinds of stories and having more kinds of experiences reflected. And that's something I was really fortunate to be able to be a part of doing for the last 12 years at LAist.
Well, what was your first job in public radio?
My first job was LAist. So what's funny about that is back then it was known, there's been a lot of brand work there, but it was known as KPCC. And I had been at the Center for Investigative Reporting, moving up and down the state of California. And the then vice president of journalism and one of the other folks working there sent me an email and said, "We hear you're leaving Los Angeles. We think Los Angeles needs you. You should come interview for a job." And so I was actually hired without an official job title. I was hired without a manager. But we eventually landed on the title of public engagement editor. And so doing that work, I was really involved in thinking about how we could hear from more community members and get their experiences reflected in the work we were doing.
So, the brand issue with LAist, I'm sure that works very easy in LA, but it's kind of hits the ear differently. So how do we explain that? I mean, what is LAist?
So the backstory there is that there were a number of websites that had become available around 2018, and WNYC took the lead in acquiring those sites, and then KPCC was one of the organizations that purchased it. And the reason that happened was we were a newsroom that had developed this really robust listening audience. But regardless of what we were trying to do, the audience we had just didn't have the digital habit of going to kpcc.org to get their digital version of their news. And so in getting LAS, we acquired not just an audience, but an audience behavior, folks who were used to going online to get the stories that they needed to navigate the region. When it comes to the actual word, and, you know, I think part of it is just this idea that when you really care about Los Angeles, when you're somebody who is loving the city, exploring the city, wanting to make LA work for you, you are an LAist.
So the thing about the LAist and also what the KPCC, you serve LA, but also y'all were Southern California facing as well, right?
Yes. So the official name of the organization, Southern California Public Radio. And, you know, I sometimes joke, there's nothing like changing your name, you know, your outward facing brand, LAist, and then having the story of a lifetime happening in Orange County. But it's a reminder that even, you know, even with the name LAist, you are really looking at how you can just serve Southern Californians with the information that they need. And when I mentioned the story of a lifetime, it's really just there's a reporter, and I'm still in Pasadena surrounded by boxes right now, but there's a reporter, Nick Gerda, who's just done incredible accountability work, really looking at a now former Board of Supervisor, supervisor in Orange County, who was directing tax dollars to an organization run by his daughter.
Right. And so I bring that up because, you know, TPR, Texas Public Radio, mm-hmm. we do statewide work, but also we're mainly based and funded and supported by our San Antonio listeners. And we frequently mm-hmm. feel, you know, where do we put our energies?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much as soon as I'm in place, more research that I'm wanting to dig into, obviously more conversations and hearing from community members, listening and learning from them. But I do think that there's in Texas the opportunity to lean into the Texas newsroom and the collaborations that are happening with organizations across the state, and then to really double down as possible to serve folks in San Antonio. So it's a tension that I've heard in the interview process and the conversations I've had so far, but it's also one that I think is really common in the public radio system right now.
I mean, it's kind of a good problem to have. I mean, there's so yeah. much going on. The needs are so great. We have so many demands that there's a lot of work.
So much work and yet not the resources, right?
Yeah.
So one of my colleagues will often say, do what you do best and partner on the rest. And given the nonprofit news scene that's in Texas, given the limitations that individual organizations have, I'm really excited to look at how we can make choices as an organization to deeply serve community members to make sure they're getting what they need, but also to preserve the resources that each organization has.
We got to hit this break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ashley Alvarado. She is the new Texas Public Radio president and CEO, and she'll be coming into office in December. When we come back from the break, I want to ask you about, you know, what are some of these challenges that we're facing, not just as local public radio outfit, but also to radio and public media and journalism overall, and also about, you know, what's it like to move from California to Texas. A lot of people doing that these days. And our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Got a question or a comment for our new CEO, Ashley Alvarado? Give us a call. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In March, the previous CEO and president of Texas Public Radio, Joy Slocum, died from a long battle with cancer. Since then, we have been looking for the right person to come in and pick up where Joyce left off, which is building a public radio station and a community touch point that everyone can be proud of that will help San Antonio grow and bring people together. And we found one, Ashley Alvarado. She will be Texas Public Radio's new president and CEO. And she's here now to answer any questions or comments that you might have for her and what you think what she ought to be working on, what she ought to be focusing on, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Ashley, what have you heard about Joyce Slocum?
Well, you know, I actually went back the other day and re-listened to the Remembrance episode that you did on The Source, which was just such a powerful episode. And it was reminding me, you know, not only of some of the comments that I heard from board members, past board members, senior leadership team members of the force, the caring and really competent woman that Joyce was, but also things that are good to remember in times of a lot of change. And so I think in the episode, either you or another person talked about grannyisms. And so I've actually caught myself saying a number of times the last couple of days, you know, don't borrow trouble. you know, thinking about, I think it was Scott Simon who had said, you just do the work. And so those are lessons that, that I'm excited to bring into my daily life and then to think about how I continue that in the organization.
Yeah. One of them that I think about all the time is, keep the main thing, the main thing, which I think is important these days.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, again, when you think about the opportunity to be a really community-centered, community-relevant organization. It's remembering the mission, centering the community, and then doing what you have to do to keep that work going forward. I will say I hadn't known about all of the Barney history, though, and I find that part amazing and want to learn more.
So we are entering an era that could be very challenging for journalism, public media. We in this last election season, we saw a direct attack on information. There was the weaponization, the spread of disinformation. What do you see as our role as, you know, trying to help people recognize that we need to fight against disinformation?
I think there are a few different ways that I think about it. Part of it goes back to, and again, I come from a field of journalism called engaged journalism, which really centers a lot of listening and thinking about how newsrooms can be responsive. So part of it is saying, you know, audience behaviors are changing, community members' behaviors, not just the information that they're looking for, but how they get information is changing. And so part of it is making sure that our newsroom and that newsrooms more generally are prepared for that. We have to, and you and I had talked about this on the phone last week, really think about how we signal our importance and relevance to community members. So making sure, you know, as local journalism, we know what's going to be covered at the state level, at the national level. How do we demonstrate that we are essential to community members? And that speaks both to a deepening of the relationship that folks will have with us, but also how we become a more resilient organization and one that is sustainable into the future.
Well, like in the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the mass deportation issue. Mm-hmm. And we have been talking in our newsroom. I mean, I have been covering immigration and border security since the 1980s. And we're thinking we're going to be at the front line of covering that. Texas being the only Republican state on the border, we're probably going to see a lot of those Trump's initiatives happening here first. But we don't know what to expect. And it's like, well, we're going to have to be doing that kind of reporting that will be necessary for the national audience as well. It'll be local and national.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that is part of the mission. It's part of the opportunity and to make sure that TPR is bringing its brand of journalism to the national level and telling those very, very local stories.
And as far as the challenges to the medium itself of radio, LAist was the branding and the creation. It was definitely like, let's figure out a way to highlight that we are a digital medium, but was mm-hmm. without turning your back on radio. So that seems to be the way forward is with both mediums in mind, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to think about how to be a multi-platform organization. And, you know, there's the understanding of meeting people where they are, or where they are rather. And so sometimes that's going to be on radio. You know, I know that there's a podcast version of the show, but there's nothing like a call-in experience. It's really special and you have a different kind of relationship with listeners. There's, you know, when you look at the different levels of engagement with CUNY members, having people come to events it's a choice that people make, and it's a reflection of how much they care and how much value they see in an experience that's happening with an organization. You know, coming into this call, I was remembering I worked for MS in the early 2000s, and I feel like in the early 2000s, people were telling folks that radio was dead, and yet radio perseveres. And you have more people listening than ever before. They're just listening in different kinds of ways. And so if you're an organization who can say, this is the great work we're doing, and here's how you can find it here, here, and here, then I think you've got a good chance, and you don't want to ever sacrifice the quality of the work itself.
So it does look like the Republicans have a trifecta. They're controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. For a long time, defunding public media, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, has been something that they have talked about. Do you still see that as a possibility? Should we be aware that public media has this challenge?
I mean, I think we absolutely have to be aware, and we have to know that it is a possibility. I don't know how immediate it could be, but it's a conversation that newsroom leaders across the country have already been having. And again, it just goes back to the notion there are, and in that remembrance that you did, Joyce, it came up there too. You know, there are a number of organizations that would be affected to the point of it being catastrophic to lose that funding. There are other organizations that potentially could close the gap, but knowing that it's a possibility, it goes to, you know, again, demonstrating that relevance, because if you're not telling the story, who is? And then also really building that partnership with community members so that we can be financially stable.
Yeah, and it seems like it would certainly hurt the smaller markets more than it would hurt stations like TPR, you know, of that size. I mean, it would certainly be a difficult situation, but it's something survivable. But these smaller stations that we have around the state that we've tried to work with and take under our wing and provide content for, they're really going to struggle if that happens.
I mean, it's going to be really hard. And we know, you know, that cities and communities suffer when local information is not available. But when we're able to find partnerships, when you're able to, what you're talking about, the work that's been attempted previously, or to find other ways of connecting with folks, then that's when people are in a position to make informed choices, to affect change. It really is a critical service that we need to do everything we can to protect.
Yeah, and probably show everyone the hard work that we're doing and what we're, and if we can get people to, you know, reach out and say they want public radio, public television, public media, this is something that they value regardless of political stripes, then yeah, this is something that can be worked around.
Absolutely.
So moving from California to Texas, you know, are you expecting some culture shock?
I mean, I'm sure there will be changes. You know, it's funny because this is a question or a conversation I've had a few times now. And I spent the formative part of my life in Oregon, and I don't know that I've ever stopped calling myself an Oregonian. But whether I'm moving from Oregon or from California to Texas, there of course will be adjustments. I will say something that struck me the first time I was in San Antonio was how it kind of reminded me of a blend of Portland, Oregon, and Guadalajara in Mexico. And, you know, just a feeling of community, I love the history, you know, growing up on the West Coast, it always felt kind of absent of history. And so whenever I'm traveling, to be able to go to museums, to go and just, you know, walk with the history that's all around, I think is incredibly powerful. And I'm yet to meet a person who has lived in San Antonio and not had really positive things to say about it.
When you told folks you were moving to San Antonio in LA, I'm moving to San Antonio, what was the reaction that you'd get?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I think that's the thing is that people, when I say San Antonio, they're like, oh, that's amazing. I love San Antonio. Everybody seems to have a cousin or a brother who's lived there at some point. If I say Texas, then I think it feels a little bit more foreign or no. Yeah, you know, it's just, it's a different response. But, you know, even teachers that I've talked to have talked about the services and why families move to San Antonio. You know, the people keep raving about the food. And I'm the daughter of a chef, so I'm always thinking about food.
We got a lot of that.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I also, you know, some of my first real mentors in journalism were from San Antonio. So I'm excited about that tradition, too.
Well, I'm excited to learn more from you about audience outreach and mm-hmm. community engagement. And can you kind of give us an idea, like what can we expect?
Sure. So when I talk about community engagement, I'm really thinking about how we close the gap between community members and the journalists that who aim to serve them. And so it shows up in a lot of different ways. It can be the precision of a style guide that's accurate and inclusive. It can be hosting events both on site and in community. It can be thinking about the way that you're amplifying stories. And so in the time that I've done, you know, engaged journalism, that's included everything from coloring books to help kids understand what to do in the event of an earthquake to participatory photo projects. So at the beginning of before the pandemic, we had worked with a number of parents and caregivers to teach them how to use cameras and to tell their story. And what we obviously didn't anticipate was the pandemic. And so then over that time, we were able to showcase the stories of parents and caregivers navigating. You know, I don't know if you remember when they were on the same boat. And what we really realized and we were able to showcase is we were all in the same storm. We were in very different boats. And so thinking about those ways. One other thing that I spent a lot of time in the last several years is working with community ethnic and in language media. When you talked about disinformation and misinformation, you know, there are times to recognize when an organization is the trusted messenger and when it's not. And so how can we leverage the journalism and the partnerships that we're stewarding in order to make sure we're getting people the information they need in order to navigate everyday life?
And what are you looking forward to, San Antonio, the food? We got a lot of the great food, a lot of great tacos. Are you going to be able to make that burrito taco thing work?
I'm going to do my very best.
Yeah, they're tacos. They're not burritos. That's a totally different thing. And a lot of chalupas. You know, we'll get you all fixed up. You'll know the San Antonio menu pretty quickly. Ashley Alvarado is the Texas Public Radio new president and CEO. And she will be coming in and taking over and becoming our new boss in December. And thank you so much for joining us today and helping us get to know you.
Thank you so much.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be hearing about Trump's plan for mass deportation and how that could hit here in San Antonio. Stay with us.